Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Let us pray. Oh, we bless you, Lord, this morning. Thank you for this special day. It's a beautiful day you blessed us with. And today we are remembering the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, which was his final time before his crucifixion. This morning I pray, Father, that you will speak to us and bless us. And let your word give us deep insight and some powerful revelations that will help us in our walk with you, in our relationship with you, so that we can fulfill your plans and your purposes for our lives. I thank you, Father, this morning. I pray for everyone hearing me. I ask that you bless everybody. In Jesus' name, a lot of people of God say amen.
Amen.
Put your hands together for Jesus. And you may be seated. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 21. And let's read from verse number 1. From the New Living Translation, if you don't mind.
New Living Translation.
Matthew 21, verse 1, all the way to verse
11.
As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Go into the village over there, he said. As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. A colt is the male offspring of a donkey. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks you what you're doing, just say the Lord needs them. And he will immediately let you take them. Now this took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him. And others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God, the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in highest heaven. Other versions will say, Hosanna. Or Hosanna.
Hosanna.
Which means save God. The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. Who is this? They asked. And the crowds replied, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Turn also with me to Zechariah chapter 9. Verse 9. Zechariah is the last but one book of the Old Testament. So if you are in Matthew, flip backwards, you will get to
Malachi.
And before Malachi, you will find Zechariah.
Zechariah.
You won't say thank you. It says, rejoice, O people of
Zion.
Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. May God give you a lot of victories to rejoice over.
Amen.
May God give you some powerful testimonies that will cause you to sing for joy.
Amen.
May God do some marvelous things in your life that will cause your loved ones to rejoice
Amen.
With you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It says, look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious. Yet he's humble. Riding on a donkey. Riding on a donkey's colt. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Hallelujah. I struggled to get a title for today's message. But finally, I settled on this. The donkey that Jesus rode on. That's the title of my message. The donkey that Jesus rode on. So what is the title of the message? If you get home and somebody asks you, what did pastor preach today? What will you say? If they ask you what it's all about, what would you say? It's all about the donkey that Jesus rode on. Wonderful. Now, in this story of Jesus' triumphant entry to
Jerusalem,
which was 5 days before he went into his passion, there is one of the, you know, I'm feeding back. There is, either it's me or it's my interpreter, figure out which one. There is one of the characters in that story that is easily ignored. So in this story of the triumphant entry, there are different characters that featured. But there is one character that it is so easy to ignore. And this character is not a human being. It is a donkey. It is the donkey that Jesus rode on. You know, I can understand why it is easy to gloss over the donkey. After all, it was just a donkey. I mean, who makes a fuss over a donkey? A donkey is an ordinary creature. not so impressive. Very docile. Very laid back. That is a donkey. That is a donkey. Who will make a fuss over a donkey? A donkey is not like a racing horse. It's not as regal or as impressive looking like a racing horse or a war horse. Now this is a racing horse. Then this is a war horse. Now put back the picture of the donkey. This is the donkey. Now show me the racing horse. This is a racing horse. Now show me a war horse. This is a war horse. Now show me the donkey again. Do you see the difference? So, who will make a fuss over a creature like this? So, it is very easy to just ignore it. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that there are certain striking things about the story of the triumphant entry in relation to the donkey. And these striking things teach us a lot about God's dealings with us.
Please
take the donkey. Please take the donkey off the screen, because I think it's distracting the people. Thank you, Mr. Donkey. So I want to share a few things with you about this donkey, and then relate it to you and I. Will that be all right with you?
Amen.
The donkey that Jesus rode on. Number one, about 500 or so years before Jesus was born, there was a prophecy about Jesus. And the donkey featured in this prophecy. Amen.
Amen.
I'll say it again. About 500 or so years before Jesus was born, there was a prophecy about him. And this donkey that he rode on, it featured in the prophecy. That's the first thing that I want you to reflect on. So when we go back to Zechariah 9:9, it says, "Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious. Yet he is humble, riding on a donkey." Riding on a donkey's colt. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This prophecy was given by the prophet
Zechariah.
And he gave this prophecy about 500 years before Jesus was born. I don't think you can imagine how long 500 years. But that is what makes Jesus very unique. That there were more than 300 prophecies about him. And many of these prophecies were given hundreds of years before he was born. But he fulfilled all of them. There is nobody else in all of history like him. And concerning this event of he riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, a prophecy was given 500 years before it happened. So the prophecy was specific. It was about a specific person. So when it says to the people of Jerusalem, he's telling them that your king is coming. It's not talking about just any king. It is talking about Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so it was a prophecy about a specific person. But hear this. This specific person was going to enter Jerusalem riding on a donkey. And what that should tell you and I is that the donkey is also a specific donkey. Not just any donkey at all, but a specific donkey. Of all the donkeys that existed in those times, this prophecy concerned this particular donkey. Not any donkey will do, but it had to be this specific donkey. And that is why you have that account in the scriptures where Jesus told two of his disciples that go to a particular village, a specific village, at a particular spot, a specific location, you will find a mother and child donkey. They will be tied to a stake. Release them and bring them to me. Luke 19 verse 30 to 34, it says, go into that village over there, he told them. As you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, why are you untying that coat? Just say, the Lord needs it. So they went and found the coat, just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked them, why are you untying that coat? And the disciples simply replied, the Lord needs it. Let me warn you that if you see a goat moving on the road and you think that, oh, this is a free goat, it is Easter, and I wouldn't mind some goat soup. I wouldn't mind goat in my palm nut soup that I will eat with my fufu. So I'm going to catch that goat. Attempt it. You try and catch that goat. Or even a chicken. And then you will see whether it is alone and doesn't have an owner. That is when you will see that never make the mistake. Every goat, every sheep, your children are coming back from Oziyana. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest. Angels are singing, Hosanna in the highest. All right. All right. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. One year in Temna Mumye be preaching. I. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, ask yourself, why was this specific account included in the Bible? Because the story could have been like this.
If you say Bianco,
and Jesus was about to enter Jerusalem, And they got him a donkey. And he rode the donkey into
Jerusalem.
But that's not what
he said.
There was a prophecy, there was a word of knowledge that Jesus gave to the two disciples. Go into that village. Go at the very entrance of the village. At that specific location. You will see that donkey. So Matthew talks about two donkeys. All the other gospels said just one. And it's not a problem. We don't need to split hairs over this. And Jesus told them that as you're untying it, the owners will ask you, hey, why are you going with my donkey? When they ask, tell them that the master has need of it. It is not by accident that you find this account in the Bible. It means that there was a specific donkey. No other donkey would do. A specific donkey. And that donkey was prophesied about more than 500 years
ago.
It was a donkey with a prophetic agenda. Hallelujah. So keep that in mind. I'm leading you somewhere. The second thing I want to draw your attention to is that it was an ordinary donkey in a small village somewhere. But it was significant and important enough in God's agenda. It was an ordinary donkey in a small village. But it was significant and important enough in God's agenda. Can I have an amen from somebody?
Amen.
Ordinary donkey in a small village. I mean, what kind of donkey do you expect to find in a small village? An ordinary donkey. An ordinary donkey. Nothing special about it. Very ordinary. Used to do ordinary things. So it was an ordinary donkey in a small village. But it was significant and important enough for God's agenda, such that it was mentioned in a prophecy that was given more than 500 years ago. Somebody say, what a donkey. What a prophecy. Number three. It took a long time, but what God had purposed concerning this donkey came to pass. It took a long time, but what God had purposed concerning this donkey came to pass. How many years did it take before this prophecy was fulfilled? Say that again.
500 years.
And how many know that 500 years is a very long time? Very long time. Very, very long time. But the prophecy came to pass. So it took a long time, but what God had purposed concerning this donkey came to pass. Somebody say hallelujah.
Amen.
Number four. At the appointed time, God's purpose for this donkey was manifested. At the appointed time. It took 500 years. But there was an appointed time. And at that appointed time, God's purpose for the donkey was manifested. Amen.
Amen.
Number five. Anybody who came into contact with this donkey would never have imagined that it had a great destiny ahead of it. Anybody who came into contact with this donkey would never have imagined that it had a great destiny ahead of it. I am am sure that many people in the village saw the donkey. Saw the donkey with its mother. Always following the mother all over the place. But nobody ever imagined that this donkey doesn't look impressive. Doesn't look so great. Doesn't look so sharp. Nobody ever imagined that this donkey that we are looking at, there is a great destiny. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you there with me?
Amen.
Number six. I'm leading us somewhere, so follow me closely. I'm pointing out to you certain remarkable things about the donkey that Jesus rode on. Number six, although this donkey may have been doing other things, it had a higher divine purpose for its life. Although this donkey may have been doing other things, it had a higher divine purpose for its life. Say amen.
Amen.
Now, in a typical village, in a rural area, what work do donkeys do? Farming. Is that not so? Farming. They are used to farm. They are used to plow. They are used to pull carts. They deliver goods to the market. They use them to carry water. Some of them are used to carry bola. Have you seen anything? Have you seen a donkey before? Oh, there are donkeys around. I'm sure there are one or two in Ashaman. Yeah. Maybe you didn't. Bechele, US. Okay. There's a US in Ghana. And it's at a place called Bechele. There's New York in Ghana. It is also at a place called Zenu. Then there is Washington in Ghana. It is also in that area. There is Jericho. There's UK. There's Lebanon. Mexico. So where to? Ecuador. All of them. And it's interesting to me, they are all in some particular area. Ashaman area. It's a very powerful area. It's the most important place on the face of the earth. If you come from Ashaman, clap hands for yourself. Ashaman Fue. Ashaman Fue. Ashaman Fue. But if you see a donkey in a typical rural environment, these are the things that you see the donkey doing.
They're
using to do farming, to carry things, carry
baller,
firewood, water, carry fruits and vegetables and other things to the market to sell. So this donkey, before that great eventful day that we read about, it was doing other things. But although it was doing other things, it had a higher purpose. It had a higher purpose. A divine purpose. An extraordinary purpose for its life. And the last thing I want to say to you about the donkey is, little did the donkey know that this plan of God concerning its life was going to bring a lot of glory and honor to it. Amen.
Amen.
Should I say it again?
Amen.
Little did the donkey know that this plan of God concerning its life was going to bring a lot of glory and honor to it. Look at verse 6-8 of Matthew 21. It says the two disciples did as Jesus commanded. Matthew 21 verse 6-8. They brought the donkey and the coat to him and threw their garments over the coat, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the tree and spread them on the road. Now, this was how Jesus was met. As he was entering, a lot of people, a large crowd, because this was during the Passover. And during this Passover period, Jews traveled from all over the world to Jerusalem to participate in the festivities. So that day when Jesus entered, a huge crowd, virtually the whole city, came to meet him. And when they came, as he was entering, their nice clothes. What are the most expensive clothes on the market? What do you call them? Kente. So they are nice kente. They are nice lace, Holland, Japan, whatever. They are nice clothes. If you are going for an important event, don't you wear nice clothes?
Sir.
So they took those nice clothes and spread them in front of Jesus. And those who didn't have nice clothes, they cut branches and spread them. Question: who wrote on those clothes? Who actually stepped on it? Who? The donkey. Not, it had never received a red carpet treatment like that, and never ever in all its life. But that day, it never imagined that the plan of God concerning it was going to bring a lot of glory and honor to it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
These are seven interesting things that we notice about the donkey. Let's run through them. What's the first one? What's the first one you have? About 500 or so years before Jesus was born, there was a prophecy about him, and the donkey featured in this prophecy. Number two, it was an ordinary donkey in a small village somewhere, but it was significant and important enough in God's agenda. And the reason why I'm asking you to say these things is to shame you that you come to church and you don't write down notes, and you look at me as if I'm acting a Chinese film. But I'm not acting a Chinese film, and I'm not doing cantata. I'm preaching the word of God to you. And every serious child of God, when you come into church, you must have something to write with. Please, you cannot be a good student when you go to class without a notebook. When they ask you, you say, me, I'm sharp brain. Everything you say, I have a photographic memory. I'm able to capture it all. So show me. What is the third thing? I'm watching you. Are you saying that you're watching? You're not even watching my face. You're acting as if your leg is itching, but your leg is not itching. Have you seen that I've caught you? What's the third thing again? It took a long time, but what God had purposed concerning this donkey, it came to pass. Number four, at the appointed time, God's purpose for this donkey was manifested. Well done. Number five. Now you are responding nicely. Good, good. The situation is not so bad. And you said that number five is there. Anybody who came into contact with this donkey would never have imagined that it had a great destiny ahead of it. Number six. although this donkey may have been doing other things, it had a higher divine purpose for its life. What sort of things were donkeys doing ordinarily? Farming, carrying water, carrying load to the market. Somebody said what? Carrying baller. Very, very important. Number seven. Little did the donkey know that this plan of God concerning its life was going to do what? Bring a lot of glory and a lot of honor to it. I think you should clap hands for yourselves. Well done. Somebody may be asking, Papa Osofo, what is this things about the donkey, what do they have to do with me? Is it because I'm a donkey? They say every human being looks like one animal or the other. Ask your neighbor, what animal do I look like? Somebody says squirrel. Is that what you said? So she says you look like a squirrel. What does she look like? Yeah, she looks like a donkey. A sizable donkey. Why have you shared these things with me? Pastor, why are you telling us this about the donkey? Because there is a powerful revelation in it for you. Number one, are you ready? You are closing in 9 minutes. Number one, you are not a mistake. You are not an accident. You are not a product of chance. You are unique. And God carefully made you. Lift up your hand. Close your eyes. And say in faith, I am not a mistake. I am not an accident. I am unique. God carefully made me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you believe? That donkey was not an accident. It was not a mistake. There was a destiny that it carried. And it was unique. And so it is with you. How unique are you? Look at Psalms 139, verse 13 to 16. Psalms 139, verse 13 to 16. What does the Bible say? You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. The King James says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
James said,
Now, when you think about that word fearful, think about something that you know is delicate, so you are careful in how you handle it. It's like a little baby. Do you know that there are some people who are afraid to carry babies? Because they are so delicate. So there's a certain care that you carry them with. That's the idea behind fearfully and wonderfully made. So it says, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. That's why a lot of people don't understand you, because you are complex. You are wonderfully complex. Say, I am wonderfully complex. Mention your name and add that. You are what? Wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. As I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Do you know who this scripture is describing? Do you know who? Do you want me to tell you? It is describing you. Yes, you.
Whoa.
Nobody else. You.
Yeah,
I'm telling you something. What? You think you're a mistake? That you're an accident. That you just happened. Then you don't understand you. And you don't understand the God who made you. You were planned. You were planned. Even if you don't know your father, you were planned. Even if you don't know your parents, you were planned. Not a mistake. God took his time in making you. And he was very careful. And you didn't make any mistake. You did not just happen. So that thing that is in your mind that it's not true. Yes, your father didn't marry your mother. They were doing mommy and papa. They were doing mommy and papa. And you came out. But you are not a mistake. You are not an accident. And the other thing I want to tell you about you.
Yes, I catch that far. Hope you understand
that you are very unique.
So
there are more than 8 billion people on the face of the earth.
We are seeing way more. How much?
And there is nobody like you.
So be in the water, say with that.
Your fingerprints.
You
are the only one who has that set. Your toe prints. You are the only one who has them. The retina of your eye. You are the only one who has them. It will amaze you that even your earlobes, you are the only one who has. Your teeth, your set of teeth, how they grow, how they are shaped, you are the only one who has them. Even your tongue, the design on it, you are the only one who has it. It is even been discovered that even how you walk, you are the only one who
walks.
And this one will shock you. Even your backside, you are the only one who has it. Go and do research on it. It will surprise you. I mean, out of 8 billion people, that's how unique you are. And did you tell me that I'm a mistake? That I was not meant to be born? That my issues are a lot? 2 days ago, somebody called me, was crying. Because some expectation that she had hadn't been met. And she said, what sin cry have I committed? that every time it looks like something is about to work for
me,
it doesn't work.
That
me alone, what have I done? It's very easy for you to think that I'm a mistake, that I'm an accident, that there's nothing special about me. Today, I read your mind of that thought.
Amen.
You are unique. You are not an accident.
You
are not a mistake. It may look like there's nothing bare about you, but there is everything wonderful about you, because God thought through it carefully before he made you. Even twins who are identical, each one of them is unique. From ordinary view, everything looks the same. Identical twins. But if you get closer, you see that this one's smile is a little different. You see that this one's cheek is a little different. But a casual view at them, it looks like everything is the same. I am here to inform you, you are not a mistake. You are not an accident. You are not a product of chance. You are unique. Say it again with me. I am unique. Say it again. I am unique. I am special. Number two. Let's finish. The next thing I want you to understand as we close is that you are not insignificant. God knows your name among 8 billion people. How many names do you know? Do you sometimes struggle to remember people's names? Can you imagine that God knows the name of each and every single person walking the face of the earth? You are significant. You are not just some lonely atom flowing through the orbits of life. God knows you. You are significant. And he knows your name. John chapter 10 verse 1 to 3. It says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold, rather than going through the gate, must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. Look at the next thing he says. Read it with me. Ready, go. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. He calls them by their names. Isaiah 43 verse 1. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. So you can put your name there. But now, oh Richard, I have called you by name. But now, oh Christabel, I have called you by name. But now, oh Abel, I have called you by name. But now, oh Enoch, I have called you by name. But now, oh Abigail, I have called you by name. God knows your name, and it shows that you are significant. Who are the people whose names you don't remember? They are the people who are not important to you. Is that not so? Can you ever imagine yourself forgetting the name of somebody who is important to you? It will never happen. It will never happen. And that's the reason why, look, I've come to see that people are so excited when they realize that their pastor knows their name. Yeah, they are very excited about it. It makes them feel special. So I say to you today, the creator of the heavens and the earth, he knows your name. If your name is not even nice, he knows that name. Rokoto. He knows your name. Rokoto is nice. Think of any name that is very some way. No, don't say that. Somebody has gone to mention. Yeah, the name is not nice to you, but it's very nice to the person. Number three. There's nothing that goes on in your life that God is not aware of. Matthew 10:30. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Hallelujah. Amen. There's nothing that goes on in your life that God is not aware of. Now, this scripture is explaining that even the hairs on your head, every single one of them is numbered. So when you comb your hair, and even one strand falls off, God knows that it is hair number 1,943,141. That is that hair that has fallen off. Yes, you. You. That is how great you are. So if God even takes note of hair that has fallen off, then you must know that there's nothing that happens in your life that God is not aware of. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number four, God has a divine purpose and agenda for your life. God has a divine purpose and agenda for your life. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is a prophecy that came to the prophet Jeremiah. That before you were conceived, I knew you. And I have a plan, an agenda for you. I had it way before you were born. So ladies and gentlemen, whoever you are, whatever your background, whatever your circumstances, God knows you and has a divine purpose for you. People may look at you today and they may not see any greatness about you, but that won't stop what God is going to do with you. So keep on believing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's end it. Number five. As you keep trusting God and as you keep pressing on in faith, God's divine purposes and agenda for your life will come to pass. No matter how long it takes. No matter how long it takes, as you keep trusting God and you keep pressing on in faith, God's divine purpose and agenda for your life will come to pass. Somebody say, it will come to pass. Say it again, it will come to pass. No matter how long it takes, it will come to pass. Habakkuk chapter 2. Verse 2 to 3. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently. Wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. I said to somebody, your appointed time will come. I said, your appointed time will come. Your time of manifestation. Your time of revelation. Your time of breakthrough. Your time of prosperity. Your time of deliverance. Your time of victory. Your time of transformation. No matter how long it takes, that time will come to pass. It may take 2 years. It may take 5 years. It may take 10 years, but I say to you today, your appointed time, it will come to pass. It will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come to pass. Somebody give a loud clap offering unto the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Because just as the donkey's time came, your time will also come. Say with me, my time will come. My time will come. Say it in faith, my time will come. Last but one, believe that all things will work together for your good. Because you love God and are called according to His purpose. All things will work together for your good. Because you love God and are called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. So things may look manya. Things may look some way. Everything is scattered. It's like your whole life is scattered. One thing is here, the other thing is there, then another thing is there. Your life may be totally disorganized. And as for the issues, plenty. Today this, tomorrow this, today this trouble, tomorrow this other trouble, today this confusion, tomorrow this other confusion. I'm saying to you today, that all those things, all the confusion, all the good times, all the bad times, all the exciting experiences, all the painful occurrences, all of those things are for a reason and are for a purpose. Because God is up to something in your life. Lift up your hand and say, God is up to something in my life. I may not know it yet, but God is doing something in my life. Hallelujah. Amen. And the last one, yielding to God's purposes for your life will bring you glory and honor at the end of the day. And in Romans 8:30, the New King James Version, it says, moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. At the end of the day, God will glorify Himself and God will glorify you. As for the glory and the honor, they belong to God. That's why when we say the Lord's Prayer, we say, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory. But hear this, my friend. Even though the glory, even though the power, even though the honor belong to the Lord, I want you to understand that as you yield to God, as you surrender to His plan for you, as you avail yourself to Him, as you trust in Him, that glory, that honor, some of it will rub off on you.
Amen.
He will glorify you. Amen. As well. As the donkey was glorified, Jesus, you will also experience some glory. Amen. In your life. What? Your life will not just be some way life. The only thing we see about you is trouble and issues.
Amen.
As God's purposes are fulfilled,
Jesus,
you will see His glory.
Amen.
And you will enjoy that glory,
Jesus,
and you'll experience that honor,
Jesus,
in your life. This is the story of the donkey that Jesus rode. And today the message of the Lord to you is that if God did this, great blessings will come out of you. Great transformation will occur in your life. And good things shall become a feature of your life.
Amen.
Receive it in the name of Jesus. Clap unto the Lord, rise to your feet, and let us close. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior? Somebody invited you to church, but you've been touched today by the word of God, and you want to give your heart to Jesus and surrender your life to Him. I want to pray with you. If you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the one who has a plan for your life, the one who wants to make your life beautiful, if you want him to be Lord of your life, if you want to receive him in your heart, wherever you are standing, forget about anybody standing by you. You want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. Hallelujah. God bless you. Lift that hand up very clearly. Don't worry about anybody at all. I see your hands. I see your hands. God bless you. And if you are watching us, you can also lift your hand where you are, because God can see you. Now, if your hand is lifted, pray this prayer with me. And let everybody join in the prayer. Say, "Dear Jesus, today I come to you just as I am. Please forgive me for all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. From today, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I give you my all. I thank you that I'm not a mistake, that I'm not an accident. You have a plan for me. Let that plan come to pass and make my life beautiful. Thank you, Father, that you love me. And thank you, Father, for receiving me today. In Jesus' mighty name. And let everybody say, Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.